The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Terrific Tuesday, and you are required to rejoice in the Lord. So smile, believe that He works it all out for good, and praise His name. First up, we examine what advantage there is for God in you not sinning. The answer? Not so much. Next, we feast on so many things in life, but often neglect to feast on the best meal of all, the bread of life. And finally, you've heard it said that it's all about the journey. Well, you've heard it wrong.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to do this one thing. Smile. Okay, then besides that, you can call us 972-445-0770, or you can text us 214-210-8483. Some people say, well, why do you keep giving the number? Because new people listen to the show every day, and they don't know. So you have to kind of keep everybody posted. That's why you do it. Here is our first trivia question. By the way, you can send a prayer request to the text, or you can call and ask for a prayer request. You can do the same on praise reports. You can do the same on topics we might want to cover, you might want to cover. It's okay. I'm all right with it. If I can fit it in, I will. If I can't, I won't. We do the best we can. You know what the saying is? You do your best. You pray that it's blessed. You let Jesus take care of the rest. Okay, there you go. That ought to simplify your life just a little bit. Here's the first trivia question coming down. Here we go. Which son did Jacob love more than all the others? He had a preference, more specifically when there was 11. He had a preference. Who was that preference? 214-210-8483. Or you're still welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. Or you can write it on a wall, but I probably won't see the answer. Keep in mind, for those that do not keep this in mind, it's not professional radio. We have demonstrated that. 2,800 hours of radio, and I came up, it's about 4,300 different sermon teachings that I've done. So it's kind of, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Wow.
It's a lot, isn't it? I think it's a lot. Anyhow, here's the bottom line. Not pro radio, just radio. To cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. Answers are already coming in, and they are all correct across the board thus far. So that's a good thing. You are still welcome to text in or welcome to call in. Don't forget our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord is D. Never be ashamed is N. A, always be ready. DNA. Let's talk about a little bit of the history. So I had my V8 today. I had a spicy V8. I was telling Tiara. Hey, 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 hey. One thing they probably should have told me. It was spicy. I saw my spicy meatball. I mean, that was really spicy. Just saying. It was like, wow.
So is it just like spice? Or was there,
you know what? You know what a V8 is, right? It's like you take all the vegetables, you blend them in, and then you put them in a glass, you drink it, and you go, oh, my goodness. So it's that with Tabasco sauce. That's what it is.
That's what made it spicy.
That's what made it spicy. So what's really funny about today is Fresh Veggies Day. See? So I got that connection. Unfortunately for me, this is one of my huge weaknesses that I'm trying to restrain, not fully walk away from, but restrain myself. It's National Fudge Day. I love fudge.
Fudge is good.
Do you have a favorite?
Not really.
Okay, because I'm like that chocolate, walnut, or maple, or any of that. I like all that stuff. But that's what I grew up with.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, we used to go to camp, and at camp the food was lousy, but your parents would come once in that like a 4-week period, and they would bring fudge. And that was like the big thing in Mackinac Island. For those that want to know, on this day, the first roller coaster opened up in the United States on Coney Island in 1884. That's not my favorite thing, roller coasters.
Mine neither. I hate them.
I mean, roller coasters and me. And the last time we went, we were in, the wife and I went to Disneyland kind of for one of our bazillion celebrations. And she used to be like a roller coaster like fanatic. And then we went on this one ride, and she hadn't been on a roller coaster in years. And it really threw her for a curve. And now she's with me. Roller coaster.
It only takes that one.
It only takes one really bad experience. All right, here's the other thing I want to mention, and I'm going to launch from this, probably not into the normal teach, but into a little bit of a different teach. On this day in 1858, Abraham Lincoln made his House Divided speech. Now, I want to say something about this because it's important. So what happens in not just politics, but in life and in many different realms, people will attribute something to great spokespeople, great influencers, great men and women of stature in some capacity. And here they've done that with the Abraham Lincoln speech. This is actually called his House Divided speech. Now, what's the problem with this being called Abraham Lincoln's House Divided speech when he's talking about the unification of the nation? What's the problem? The problem is House Divided is not Abraham Lincoln's speech. It's Jesus' speech. It's the Lord speaking. It's a text he used from Matthew chapter 12. So we'll just use that text and talk about it so that you understand where Abraham Lincoln got his emphasis to bring about and talk about unity. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 through 26. So this is only a scant 1,830 years before Abraham Lincoln ever even considered penning the speech. Here's what Jesus said. Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" I find this text to be fascinating, and though we will give credit to Abraham Lincoln to doing what he did as a president to unite the country, let's talk about what Jesus talked about, because there's extra components in here that people miss. The first thing he talks about is a kingdom, and a kingdom that's divided will not stand. As you look at our country now, I have yet to see, or haven't seen it in maybe clarity, any president get up there and say, "The state of our union is in trouble." They always go, "The state of the union is great." And it's like, what if it's not great? Can somebody just say, "Hey, it's not great. We got a lot of not great going on." Can somebody just say it? It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It's not supposed to be fake. It's supposed to be real. And any kingdom that's split cannot maintain, it comes to an end or it comes to a closure because it can't maintain that divided position. I understand people don't want to think that way, but you still have to be honest. In history, Greece, the grandfather of America, was split. Rome was split in America from within, going through kind of a similar split. And we're hoping that by prayer and by devotion and commitment, the Lord will spare us that. That would be fantastic. But if not, you better still be prepared one way or another. Here's the bottom line, though. It's not just kingdoms and countries. The next thing Jesus said is every city. And it doesn't have to be just a geographically state. It can be a smaller collection of people where there's a great division. To give you an idea how intense and important this is, these are the same kind of things that happen in a church, where there's a division in the church. What happens when there's a division that's unreconcilable in a church? it splits. That's what happens. That's what we call church splits. Wait, I'm going to take it to the next level and then the oomph level. Here's the next level. That's what happens in households. When the husband and wife are not united, guess what they do? They split. We call it a divorce. And many people say, well, you should stay together for the sake of the kids. You should stay together because it's the principle that God arranged for unity to be unified. And you should never deviate as parents under the children, letting the children rule. That's absolutely absurd. But the bottom line is even houses can be split. But wait, I'm not done. Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. And that is the one I want to talk to you about. Because you and I have a war going on that's consistent between the flesh part of us and the spirit part of us. And we need to give more empowerment and feeding and strength to the spirit part of us so the flesh part of us doesn't lay us to waste. And even within yourself, there can be a great division. If there can be a division within yourself, if there can be a division within your home, if there can be a division within your church, if there can be a division within your city, if there can be a division within your state, can there be a division within our country? Yes. So what do you do? Well, the principle that we should operate in, of course, is love. And what you do is you pray to keep the unity that you have. That's what it says in Ephesians 4, 3, 4, 5, and 6, which we've talked about at length when we did the expository teaching on it. That there is a unity in the Father. We have the same dad. There is a unity in the Son. We are blood relatives. And there's a unity in the Holy Spirit. We drink from the same fountain. And Christians of all the people in the world that should be united, it should be Christians, which is why Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men shall know you are my disciples, by which denomination you choose. Oh, wait, he didn't say that, did he? He said, by your love one for another. That's what creates that unity, that sacrificial agape love of giving and supporting and thinking of the person's best interests. That's what creates unification. Guess what? That's a little bit of why you got to love yourself, so that you can be open to the Lord influencing you, changing you, altering you, and making you the best you can be in the image of Christ. Wow, I'm going to get off my high horse. Just not till the end of the show. For the trivia question, for those that want to know the trivia question, which son did Jacob love more than all the others? Joseph was the answer. He loved Joseph. Oh, nobody has favorites. Sure. Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. I never need to look for you, Lord. You're here.
Welcome back. Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. I guess I know why that happened. That was my fault, not Tiara's fault. Let me just tell you what happened. Tiara's looking at me like, what just happened to the board? What happened? My Bible was on the cough switch. And if it's on the cough switch, watch. It knocks out the voice. That's the first time that's happened since we've been in the studio. That was
what
fun.
In the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
It's a Blazing Saddles reference. That is fantastic. All right. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where that whole mess up was my fault. Terrific tea on top of it all the way through. Me, I put my Bible on the cough button. That is just really a weird thing to do. You want to reach us, you can do so by texting us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or you can call us, 972-445-0770. Here is the trivia question that is next. Which musical instrument did David play for Saul? Ooh. Which musical instrument did David play for Saul? Now, I am going to say it's probably not that one that Sheldon on Big Bang played where it was like the thing. But anyway, website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We encourage you to check out the website, get a chance to view it, see some of the interviews, the audios, the videos, the different things that are on the website. They should be relatively encouraging. There's some that are challenging even that I would encourage you to listen to. There's a couple of recordings on there that are like 7 or 8 minutes. So they're not very long. You know, it's like, that's not bad. That's not like a sermon, which can go for 70 minutes. How much of that do you remember? I don't know. How many things were recorded in the Bible when Paul preached for 12 hours? Zero. Wow. 12 hours. Nothing. It's like, that was, the guy was like, that's long.
Very long.
Very long. Can you imagine a 12-hour sermon? I mean, I would be out after, usually I'm out after about 34 minutes.
You have me at 30, yeah. Under 30.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that'd be tough. I know some people really enjoy getting into it. I don't have any problem with that, but 12 hours. Website again, hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org is the email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our first ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, wind, flood, and smoke cleanup, other restoration services throughout the state of Texas, Mr. Restore is Mr. Fantastic. They are great. They will take care of you. If you've got anything going on that needs restoration, they can be on site within 60 minutes, family owned and operated. They got 50 years of restoration experience in thousands of happy customers working with all the insurance companies, A-plus rated with the BBB. If you've got anything going on where you need restoration in your home, in your apartment, in your office, in your church, in any way, shape, or form, get in touch with Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. Let them know you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. In fact, this afternoon I'm going to get a chance to talk to Clint, so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk to him. I haven't talked to him for a little while. Okay, that is that. Question on the board is King David, okay, before he was king, what musical instrument did David play for Saul? What musical instrument did David play for Saul? A couple of answers that would work. So if you think you know it, give it a roll. If not, look in the Bible. You know, it's after, it's going to be in that 1 Samuel area, so you can find it. It's not a problem. All right, let's see. So we got that rolling. You can text 214-210-8483. You can call 972-445-0770. I wanted to talk about this real quickly, and I don't want you to misunderstand. I am not trying to be mean. I will ask you if you're listening out there, do you think I'm not trying to be a meanie? That's not my goal. My goal in life is I'm going to go on the radio and be mean. Okay? And it's not my goal to just do comedic routines. I know you think it is, but you'd be wrong. The comedy in my life is everything that happens in my family. It's like its own sitcom. But I want this practical application to Christianity to move beyond the academic realm. I want it to move beyond the watered-down realm. I don't like any of those realms that much. In fact, when I write academically in the PhD class I'm in, people there are like, Where did this come from? Because I just have a different point of view. And it's not that that point of view is the only one that should be observed. I don't believe that. But it's something that should be examined as part of our process. Job chapter 35, verse 6 through 7. If you have sinned, what have you accomplished against God? And if your transgressions are many, what do you do for him? If you are righteous, what do you give to God? Or what does he receive from your hand? You're going to hear something you probably haven't heard, maybe put this way, in quite some time. If you sin, so what? Now, let me rephrase that. You are not impacting God by your sin. And in the context of when you sin, it doesn't take away or erase. It doesn't take an eraser from a pencil and erase part of God. And if you're good, it doesn't use the other side of the pencil and fill in some of the blanks. When we sin, it's not God that we're hurting, other than we're in that offense position or we're doing something contrary. But the reality check is we're hurting ourselves. God's the one who's trying to help us. When we're sinning, we're rejecting him. But it's not like he's got these super raw feelings and, oh, you've rejected me. No, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm leaving. It's like, that's not what's going on. The Lord's up there saying, hey, I'm trying to help you not self-destruct. And I mentioned this before. I was counseling this gentleman. He had committed adultery. And we sat across, and he's the one who told, and I'm telling you, when that guy told me what he said, it really changed my perspective on God, because you can hear it from somebody who's in great pain. He said, those commandments aren't there to keep us away from having fun. Those commandments are there to keep us away from creating pain in our lives. Like, wow, this is not about God trying to be, you know, no fun. It's not like the NFL, no fun league. That's what I used to work with a lot of players. That's what they used to call it, the NFL, no fun league. Anyway, the idea is to understand that's not what God's doing. He's trying to help us. He's trying to move us. He's trying to get us away from creating and conflicting within ourselves tremendous pain and tremendous discomfort and looking out. He's looking out for our best interest. He warns us. He tells us. He says, you're going to reject me. You're going to reject me. At some point, I'm just going to reject you, and that's going to be it. That's why you hear on this show and on 1,000 other shows and 10,000 churches preaching on a regular basis, say, be sensitive to the Lord. If the Lord convicts you, if the Lord challenges you, if the Lord comes into your life and makes movement and tries to get you to go a direction, respond to him, yield to him, surrender to him. Because that sin that you're in, that's not erasing God. And for those of you that are stuck in a besetting sin, and if you want to know what a besetting sin is, the besetting sin in your life is the one that I, when I said the word besetting sin, it's the one you thought of. It's the one that you think, well, nobody else knows. Well, God knows. And the issue there is not to sit there and be in denial. The issue is to bring it before the Lord, spread it out before him and go, help me. I need your help to get past this. The only reason that he would even help you is because he loves you. So I don't want you to get this notion that your righteousness somehow adds to the entity of God. It pleases him and it blesses him that his children want to walk in obedience to him, but he is self-sustaining and self-sufficient. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need people. You know, there was a whole teaching. I'm not going to say which church did it, but let's just say it's kind of connected to the word that has to do with universal. And there's this big teaching, well, God can't exist without man. Well, that's the stupidest theological statement ever since God existed before man. It's like, wait, okay, let's do this. 2 + 2 = 4. Downhill, the water rolls. Okay, come on. And so you have to catch this, that God, what he's done is extended his graciousness to our lives, even though we stand in rebellion. And he looks at us and he has mercy on us, which means he doesn't judge us with the way that we ought to be judged. And he has grace upon us, which means that we get this unmerited favor we could never earn because of who he is. The only stipulation is that we receive it. It's just like, our job is to go, okie dokie. I don't know, it doesn't seem hard. But we make it hard. But my point in telling you this stuff is for you and I and all of us to kind of get a handle. Look, the Lord is the one trying to work in our lives to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to push us past these self-inflicting, painful, stupid decisions that we make so that we can walk with a better life, a greater life, and then enjoy eternity with him. I think that's all solid. I think that's all cool. I think that's an awesomeness that comes from God. And we're super duper blessed, fortunate, lucky, whatever you want to use. We're that because he treats us with such gentleness. Can you say amen? I mean, come on. All right, so the answer to the trivia question, by the way, is what was the musical instrument that David played for Saul? Either the lyre or the harp would have been fine, or even stringed instrument would have gone as well. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What
is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope, is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that, too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me give a shout out to terrific T. Tierra, who's been doing a fantastic job since we've been back. So, well, this is what, our fourth week back from off the phone? This is the fourth week. It's Tuesday, but it's the fourth.
I believe it is.
Yeah. So now she has to deal with me directly. Although that's, the timing is easier. So
it is. Very.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little different, but she still has to put up with me. Let me tell you, any person that has to put up with me, your trophy's large. That's all I'm going to say. You think it's easy? It's not easy. And then not having all of my little, perks like the coffee and stuff like that, it's like, ruff, ruff. Anyway, so just letting you know. For those that want to, I got another trivia question. Now, look it. If you don't know the trivia, there's nothing wrong with that. You should listen, though, to the answers so you can learn and so you can grow in the Word. That's the big part of this. And I'm going to give you the location of this trivia answer. It's just better for you to look it up in the Bible than it is just to Google it or just to use a search engine for it, for those that don't use Google. I'm just saying. So try and think of it in those terms, unless you know the answer. Here's the next trivia question. By the way, you can text the answer 214-210-8483, or you can call us at 972-445-0770. Who was the king that wanted to kill Jesus when he was a baby? Right? What a guy, right? Anyway, Matthew chapter 2 is the biblical location for those that are trying to find that. Matthew chapter 2. So you can look up Matthew chapter 2, go to the New Testament, go over to two chapters, read through it. You'll see what the answer is. 214-210-8483, or you can call. So that 214 is a text, 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org, where you can also send us an email because there's a form to fill out that doesn't, share with anybody. I mean, it's private. Email also, though, David, HeMustIncrease@HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. YouTube, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. Now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on now.
Men of God, I love that song. Men of God Moving. It's so upbeat, isn't it?
It's the best
I know, it's just like, get you rolling, it's happening. Menofgodmoving.com, that's their website, Johnny Hill. Now, if you have any moving needs, it doesn't matter if it's small or large, doesn't matter if it's a mansion or anything else, doesn't matter if it's a U-Haul that's a 4x4, it doesn't matter. They will help you, and they will give you a substantially excellent price because of you letting them know you heard it on the show. Menofgodmoving.com, which you can also connect to through hemustincrease.org, as we have links on our website to get you to them. That is the general idea. All right, once again, the trivia, and then I'm going to go into the teaching. And this teaching is going to be one of the most, I don't know what to say, profound. It's going to be kind of serious at the last half of it. But here are the trivia questions, straightforward. Which king wanted to kill Jesus when he was a baby? The answer is in Matthew chapter 2. Let's talk about this. I want to talk to you about the wonderful saying on all the bumper stickers that you drive around in Dallas and in Fort Worth and in in Irving and in all these different cities that are around us and all these different places. It's the one that goes, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Okay. If you go to hell, then it does matter about the destination, doesn't it? Okay. If you go to heaven, then it does matter about the destination, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 9 says this: you love him though you have not seen him, and though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay? All right. Okay? Okay. I had to go to Costa Rica for a conference many moons ago. I've been to Mexico not as many times as most people, probably about 20, 25 times that I've been to Mexico. I have a television like you have a television. There's nobody who doesn't know what I'm about to say. Whenever you see soccer on your television that is from Mexico or Spain or from Ecuador or from Costa Rica or anything, what happens when a goal is scored? What happens? What does the announcer do? What does the announcer say? Goal! I mean, it's just like the longest thing. It goes on and on and on. Goal! I mean, by the time the guy is done, you've taken three breaths and written a paragraph. It goes on forever. Guess what? There is a goal to your faith. There's a goal here. There's a purpose. I'm doing all this because I'm an idiot. No, you have a purpose. You know what Paul said? If in this life we are just Christians, we are of all men most miserable. It's like, you're just doing this for now. That's why when people say, well, Christian existentialism doesn't exist. It's an oxymoron. Can't do it. It's not possible. Because the truth is that in Christian faith, there is a goal. And that's living forever with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's the bottom line. It's about the end play. And while the journey has a lot of fascinating elements to it, and it's very cool if you can see it with the eyes of God, through his perspective as well as your own, that is fantastic. But that is not the goal. You getting the drift here? The goal is for us to hang out with the Lord forever. And while you go through this process of justification, which is a past tense process, sanctification, which is a present tense process, and glorification, which is a future tense process, while you understand that judicially you are saved, practically you are being saved to be looked, made into the image of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:17, glory by glory, and that you will be saved, where there will be no presence of sin, no presence of evil, all bad will be wiped out, and that all we'll be doing is dancing and having a good time, and whatever it is that the Lord has in mind, we'll love it, we'll enjoy it, because he'll be with us in the whole process. This is what we are going for. And I don't want you to get caught up, because multiple times in Scripture, it warns us not to get bogged down now because of what will come. And let me say something, and this is going to be, I'm going to be very careful here, doing a little bit of ginger discussion here, which just means gingerly I'm going to do it. A lot of you are not familiar with Isaiah 57:1, and I'm going to read it to you and then talk to you about it, because what will happen is in life and in my life, I have seen and encountered, and I cannot speak for anybody else, but I've seen and encountered death multiple times throughout my lifetime already. And sometimes you just don't get it. Sometimes it's senseless. And people, you know, from our perspective, we go, what about this? Just talked about the towers, you know, falling in Siloam just yesterday. And just this whole process. Isaiah 57:1 says this, the righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Did you know that God is so committed to our well-being that sometimes a righteous person will be snatched off the planet just so God can spare them grief that is forthcoming for others? That's called mercy. That's called grace. What we think of as a senseless act is a merciful act. And I have had more than one scenario where the person who perished, later it was found out that there were other things that were either going to go against that person or against the family, that would have killed the person anyway. And it's like, wow, God had mercy. And you think, that's such a tough thing, Dave. Yeah, it's really hard on us because it's our perspective. But God knows the beginning from the end. And he knows what does and doesn't need to happen. And he knows what the ultimate goal is to be with him. The ultimate goal is not to have a rich and fulfilling life. The ultimate goal is to hear, time's up. We're out. Bye. See ya. You can have my car. I'm gone. I'm going to heaven. I don't need a car. I have a starship. Anyway, the idea is for you to understand what that reality is. This is about hanging out with G, right? That's G, right? There. And JC and HS. This is about hanging out with God forever in an awesome eternity, not in an eternity. Not in an eternity where you're sitting on clouds and reading magazines and waiting for the dentist to give you a filling. That's not heaven. There's a lot of things that is, but heaven, that ain't it. Our heaven's going to be so fantastic that our minds can't even fully accept it. All we get is the streets will be gold. How much better will everything else be? That's our goal. Hanging out with God forever. Don't you ever lose that hope. Don't get bogged down now. Focus on that which is to come, just like Jesus did, so he can endure the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Thank you. All right, let's answer the trivia question. What was the king that wanted to kill Jesus when he was a baby? Herod. Herod the Great. The reference would be Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go nowhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, it's pretty simple to do. You can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text, which is a text, which is not a call. But it's a text, but it's kind of a call, but it's a text. 214-210-8483. A very simple question. This answer is in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Which disciple was sitting under the fig tree? Which disciple? Not which one called him. Which disciple was actually sitting under the fig tree? So one of the few times in Scripture you see where Jesus calls somebody and they're just like sitting around. It's like, what are you doing? Sitting around? Sitting under the fig tree? What do you do? Just sitting. Okay. let's go to it. So if you want to text us, 214-210-8483, our phone number 972-445-0770. I think I'm doing all right without coffee. I'm just, you know, it seems like I don't, a little less.
See, you're doing great.
Yeah, a little less energy, but not too much, you know. It's the drive home that I'm just a little concerned, but we'll see what happens. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org is our email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
My house is a very, very, very
Kimberly Ellis. You know, I did too much of a hard cut on that one because it just goes, it just stops. Anyway, Kimberly Ellis, Fathom Realty. It's very simple. If you have any real estate needs, any real estate questions, if you're just in that place and you're thinking, I'm thinking maybe could be possibly time to sell. It could be possibly maybe time to buy. It could be time maybe possibly to sell and buy or to buy and sell, whatever the case may be. Reach out to Kimberly and she will help you out. 903-48-HOME. 90348Homes, H-O-M-E-S. Bottom line is, even if you're not sure where it's at or where the market's at or what you're thinking about, talk to somebody in the real estate realm without having to make a commitment. And then if you connect with her and it goes well, she's really, her and Tony are really into serving people, taking care of people, being honorable before the Lord, so you can count on them. 90348Homes, 90348Homes. Also, you can connect to her through hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. So the question, which disciple slash future apostle was sitting under the fig tree when Jesus called him? Or actually when the other disciple pulled him to Jesus. Who was that? Just do your best. It's under John chapter 1 for those that want to look it up. That's the way to do it. And like I said, you can text 214-210-8483 or call 972-445-0770. Let's keep it simple. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Ready? Since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, been a Christian for more than an hour? Cool. Let's get an understanding. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Sometimes in a church they'll say, God is good. People will say, all the time, and all the time God is good, and kind of a back and forth, right? Here's the deal. God is good. He's good in his nature. He's good in his character. He's good in his actions. He's good in his words. And here's the most important part. He's good to you. Now, you might not think that everything that God does and the way that God does it is the way you would do it if you were God. But keep in mind, if you were God, it would probably all be a disaster anyway, wouldn't it? So you really need to acknowledge the goodness of God and how he keeps everybody in this perfect tension in our relationship with him, our relationship with others, how he weaves almost every possible, I would say every possible and conceivable event in such a way so as to be so intricate that he knows the number of hairs on your head. How many number of hairs do you have on your head? How many? How many? How many? Oh, well, if you're like me, the answer would be almost zero. But underneath the scalp, how many follicles are there? How many? It's like nobody knows. But God knows, and he knows when it grows, and he knows when it declines. See, for me, he's using subtraction. So here's the bottom line. God is good. What we get to see is that we are told by Peter something connected to the Psalms. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Here's the bottom line. We feast on so many things in life. Now, let's talk about what we feast on. We feast on food, right? Yep, nobody's going to argue. We feast on fun. We feast on entertainment. We feast on relationship. We feast on self-acknowledgments. We feast on money. We feast on toys. We feast on television and television shows. In fact, what do we call it when we watch a show, one show after another, after another, after another? It's called binging. It's like, that's a eating term. We're binging. And it's like, this has been going on for years and years, thousands of years. Thousands of years. Understanding God in the context of understanding eating. And guess what Jesus said about himself? I am the bread of life. Now, this will be even worse for me in about 4 weeks. But man, do I love bread with butter. Oh, just get it. We used to go to this place, Carl's Chop House in Detroit, Michigan. And right next door to Carl's Chop House, it was pretty expensive. Remember, my dad was kind of loaded. And next to it was the Wonder Bread Factory. You would walk into Carl's Chop House and go, oh, and it was the bread. Because it smelled so good. It was delicious. Well, guess what? Jesus is the bread of life. We're supposed to feast. So how do you do that? You binge on Jesus. You spend time praying. You spend time reading the word. You spend time listening to worship. You connect in church. You connect in fellowship. You acknowledge the Lord. You lift him up. You praise him. You surrender to him. You're conscious of God. That's how you binge. That's how you taste. That's how you enjoy. That's how you feast in the Lord. You're conscious of God. I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to this passage? I mean, I came across this just before the show started. Listen to this passage in Psalm 94. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. When things are yucky, God comes in and goes, here you go, I'm going to help. How could you not enjoy that? How could you not appreciate that? How can we not feast on that? When things are yucky, when anxiety is increased, the consolation of the Lord brings comfort and peace. When our feet almost slip, we almost go the wrong direction, when we almost actually physically hurt, God spares and gives grace and mercy. Do we deserve any of that? No. So how can you not be appreciative? Oh, thank you, Lord. I think I spend a decent amount of time, I don't know how much of a percentage, maybe about 10%. But I tell the Lord, I'm a jerk. I'm an idiot. I know I am. But I'm his idiot. See, this is what makes me happy. It's like, apart from the Lord, forget it. All my goodness that I might have, all of my goodness is because of the goodness of God. It's not because of me. It's him. And I rejoice in that. First of all, it takes the pressure off me. I don't have any pressure. I just got to walk with the Lord. But it does require me to be yielded. And that happens, you know, every fourth or fifth moon, somewhere around there. But the idea is for you and I to enjoy, to feast on the Lord. He's got so much graciousness. I mean, you recognize that in eternity, that's going to be everything. So why not tap in early? Do you ever see a wrestling match? The person has to tap the other person's half when it's a tag team. They have to tap the other person's half to get into the ring. Tap in. Get in. Get in. Wrestle around there. Feast. Enjoy God. Let it be a blessing. Let his blessing of his presence, his anointing, his grace, his mercy cover you. And rejoice in that. Feast in him. Jesus is the bread of life. Make that a bigger part of your consumption on a daily basis. And you know what you'll find out? Life is a lot better than you thought it was. That's what you will find out. Okay? All right. The answer, Nathaniel, was the one that was under the fig tree. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity.
Just as
views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.